CliffCentral.com.
Good morning on this Thursday. Last Thursday of January. So what is it? Tomorrow's payday for most people, right? So this week is certainly payday for people. That's correct, right? So this is the proper end. This is the end of January and the beginning of January. Almost the beginning of February. But January is almost over. I think that's something worth celebrating, don't you think? Morning,
it's
Pums.
The beginning of the year.
Pumi Mashiko's here, and Bulelo Tinta, and it is a Thursday, which means, among other things, the burning platform a little bit later on. Kuyashisa. All right, well, a couple of comments that are already rolling in. Lovely Lady Lee says, good morning all. I can't believe I'm sacrificing my sleep for this show. Oh, tell me about it.
How are you possibly still sleeping at this hour?
You are one of those people, I guess, that just doesn't like to lie around in bed for too long, right, Pums?
Dude, it's 6 o'clock.
I know.
And the sun is like almost all the way up.
What's your point?
Me, you know, this is the most exciting thing about summer, though, is that the sun is actually up at this time. You have more day, you know, more day to get things done,
Love it. Seamus is shitting on us. He says, like and subscribe, for fuck's sake. I can't believe that the subscriptions are increasing faster. Well, yeah, it's a funny thing. Like, maybe because I'm not holding a gun to everyone's head every morning. But if you don't like and subscribe, and all the YouTubers tell me that's all you have to keep reminding people to do, then we do not grow, then we do not do more, then we do not, fit into the YouTube algorithm the way that other shows do, and you know, people won't take us seriously. It'll be a disaster. So get on it, please. Get. All right.
Where's the button?
Like, do you want subscribe? The like and subscribe button? Here we go, Pums. All right. Do a professional one for us quickly. Go for it.
Hey, everybody. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Just smash. What is it? Smash the like and subscribe button.
That's the one.
Button.
There we go.
Look here.
There we go. Correct. Thank you, Pums. Very, very nice. There we go. See, if we don't do that reminder, then I get into trouble. So there we are.
Ba, 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 ba.
Good stuff. So, Pums, what's happening with you?
Everything is happening. Everything is happening. But did you see, because I sent Dory yesterday, and this again with the sleeping in, right?
Yes.
People and the sleeping in. I'm astounded at the number of people who don't want to go back to the office. I read this article the other day about most South Africans don't want to go back to the office. It's like, why, guys? I wanted, like, my house must be my house, must be my hangout, relaxation.
Well, you know?
And then when I was at the hair salon, I got the answer. Because there was a woman there who was talking on the phone about her side hustle and how she's like started a business baking cakes. You know, baking cakes in buckets for misebenzi and all of that stuff is a big business
in
the black community. So she started that side hustle. She started that side hustle during the lockdown. And she's just like, namang semithingini. I just turn off the camera and then check on my scones. And I was just like, hey.
Laziness, that's
what
that is.
Is that what's happening? People are busy doing other things here.
Absolutely. Listen.
I wondered how many other people are like doing other things during like work hours, pretending to be like fully in the meeting.
I think maybe there are some people who've really benefited from this in a big way and the other people who just have hated every part of it. And I'm kind of half and half still. I mean, there's some things I should be very grateful for lockdown, to lockdown for. First one of those being, I've always wanted to do this show from home because it never made sense to me to have to get in a car, drive for, 25 to 35 minutes in the morning, sometimes get stuck in traffic. There was always something. You know, we were always worried about one of the guests arriving late or any of that stuff. So being able to do this online, like people listen online, makes sense. And I don't think we've dropped our standards. I don't think that we've made the shows any less interesting. We've certainly tried to get guests that hit and punch at a very high level. And we can do really great shows from anywhere. We should be able to. Means that I can take this show on the road. I can do it like I did last week from Cape Town or internationally once that opens up. And I think that that gives us enormous possibility and potential to do new things, right? Whereas if we're stuck in the studio, there's only so much you can ever do.
I get that. But it's also just so much fun and so much more interactive to be with each other. So we can do this, and it's mm-hmm. great to be able to get guests from everywhere, because that's what the digital thing has done, right? Is right. You can get any guests from anywhere, and they can... And when it was like the hard lockdowns, everybody was available. So that was amazing. But it's also, there's something in the tangibleness of being with each other.
Sure. I still do that. I mean, we still go into the office. But for the show, this is kind of the way that we've got to work now. And it suits me down to the ground, the show. But the rest of it, yes, absolutely. It's still important to meet face-to-face with people. It's still important to see everybody eye-to-eye. I get that. And you can't really replace that with anything. I don't care what Zoom does or, you know, any of these brilliant platforms that we now just consider the normal way to meet. For example, Tuesday, there was a meeting that was scheduled, and Lebang and Rina and I thought it was in the office, but it was actually an online meeting. So the three of us were sitting in the office together, and two people who were meeting on the other side were online. And, you know, it doesn't make a difference to me. It's not like the most important thing, but I do love a face-to-face meeting now, which I used to hate. I used to hate those meetings. I mean, I'm not a meeting kind of guy. You know, put me in a meeting for anything longer than 15 minutes and I want to slit my wrists.
Oh, I get that. But also people are up to shit. I think we must
definitely. Oh, for sure.
There are a lot of people that are up to nonsense. Somebody sent a message earlier saying, first you start out with like connection issues at the beginning mm-hmm. and then you get to turn off your camera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you can do whatever.
Right. Yeah.
As you graduate.
I'm sure there are people out there. I'm sure there are people out there kind of like hanging out in their bed.
Oh, for sure.
Having the meeting.
No, you can tell. And also you can see people have a lot of people. We said this couple of months into lockdown, people have just let themselves go as well. You know, they don't. People used to dress up. They used to, not everybody, but there's a contingent of people who used to, you know, used to make an effort, like, you put on the nice outfit for work. You'd have your hair done. You'd put on some makeup if you're one of the girls. You'd have some nice earrings on, all that stuff. Now, I mean, oh, I've got to wear headphones. I'm not going to bother with earrings. I don't need makeup because I'll just turn the light down a little bit more. I'll use that soft focus on some of these things that you get. And, you know, people just, they're kind of like, yeah, well, I don't need to be there in person. Let it go a little.
Look, I have had days. I have had days coming on the show, especially in winter, in those deep winter days, where I've really struggled with the, should I really get out of my onesie? Mm-hmm. I've had those days.
Yep. Yep. You have to force yourself.
But because of Mulelo and his judginess, I always get out of the onesie.
I am judgy. I realized this yesterday again as well. It's like, oh my goodness, South Africans, terrible at queuing as well. As much as I'm glad you're back in the mix. You don't need to. My rule is, so I'm 179 centimeters tall. That's my wingspan. Mm-hmm. If I can touch you, you're too close. So if I do a full circle, you're too close in the queue. Forget the social distancing. You were too close before this.
So do you hold your hands out? Do you like?
Sometimes I'll just have, if I've got like, if I've got an umbrella, for instance, I'll put it behind me, but like in a weird way,
takes up more space.
Umbrella length distance. Yeah. And if it hits you, I don't apologize.
Right.
You're too close. Move back. So, just these little things, you know, like let's get better queuing.
I mean, traffic is back for sure, whether you like it or not. The roads are back to being busy. If it's certain times of the day now, you suddenly go, oh, hell, okay, I forgot that this is happening. And you know what? I mean, Mash says, it's been a great change during lockdown. Got you guys on video now as well, so that's been great. I can promise you now we would never. I was so against video. I would never have done a show on
really?
Video. Yeah, I hated the idea of video. I always thought that a show like ours needs imagination space, and audio works best with you using your imagination, not having to look at us or for us to create visuals. And although we don't throw visuals up on the screen all the time, because that would make the podcast audience very irritated, there are still occasions, like, you know, we had a story about, you know, all these people who've died in the last while, and I was putting pictures of them up while we were talking about them. And that's helpful for the viewing audience, because it reminds, oh, that's who they're talking about. But it's not that great if you're listening, because you start to look it up yourself. It's not the end of the world, because I used to do that anyway with radio. You know, there'd be some story on the radio, and I'd go, oh, I don't know who that actor or that actress is, or I don't know who they're talking about here. And then I'd have to Google them quickly while the show was on. But it's still an audio show. And if we hadn't gone online, I would never have said yes to video, ever. We'd still be doing this show as an audio-only show. So that's happened, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely a good thing.
Robin says, Mbulelo, take up your space. I do the same. I will step backwards if someone edges closer. And Carl says, this too close thing is only relevant if the person is unattractive. If there's an attractive girl in the queue, she can always get a little closer. Not too close, because I am married, but you know what I mean. Okay. No. No. Right. Right.
I like the end of that. Not good.
That is so true, though. Listen, I mean, I've said this a million times. Attractive people, just all the rules change when someone is beautiful. All the rules.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And that will not change.
No, it's just part of what we've got to get used to. There are privileges, the real privilege in this world, that there are three of them, that have nothing to do with money, right? They've got all to do with pure luck. The first one is attractive privilege. Beautiful people always get
pretty
more.
Pretty privilege.
Pretty privilege. That is absolutely a thing. And if you look at it from my side of the world, where all the ugly people live, and you look into the pretty people bubble, you see, like, oh, God, that must be so nice. Imagine that. Just everybody talks to you in a different way. They forgive you your mistakes. They want to be around you more. They just – everybody loves pretty people. So there's pretty people privilege. Then there's what I call family privilege. That is, if you're lucky enough to have grown up in a loving family with or without both parents, but with a whole lot of love and support and protection and safety and all of those things, because we take it for granted if you have that. But if you don't have it, there's very little that can make up for it, right? And that's a real privilege that many people don't entirely understand. And the third one is, like, this, there's a street smart privilege. There's this like nous that some people have. They can just walk into a situation and figure it out very quickly. And it doesn't have to do with intelligence, you know, the kind that Mbulelo and I talk about when we're measuring IQ or sciences or the ability to figure out something complex in terms of mathematics or logic or any of that stuff. This is a street smartness. Like, someone will walk into a room and go, that guy over there is dangerous. Or they'll walk into a place and go, those are the exits if I need to get out of here in a hurry. Or I know how to make this place work. I know how to make those people.
I have a friend like that.
Yeah.
I have a friend like that. He is incredible. Like, if you're in trouble,
yeah,
and you get stopped by the police, and you know you were wrong, but you've done something wrong. He is the kind of guy that you can pick up your phone and call and say three things to him. Say, listen, I just got stopped here by the police, and doctor, I just wanted you to explain to them why I have to be, like, speeding.
Yes.
And hand the phone over to the police, and he will wing it. He'll get you out of trouble.
Oh, man, those
He's
people.
He's just that guy. He is just that guy.
They
he
think
can
on their
you out
feet.
Of any trouble.
Yeah.
You don't even have to give him a long time to figure it out.
That's awesome.
It is his superpower.
Right.
It is his superpower. Yeah. He can get you in and out of parties. He can get you, like,
all the rules.
Sort you out.
All the rules
Hook
are bendable
you up
for those
with
people.
All of the people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't get into conquer. He's the guy.
Am I right? Those are the three kinds of privilege that people don't usually pick up on. Because everybody looks at it. They go money. They go they go resources. They go age. Because obviously there's a youth privilege and then there's an old age privilege on the other side.
Like, I never thought about that family privilege.
I think family privilege, especially in our country, you can see it. Like some people, they think everybody's as lucky as they are to have a loving, happy place to come from, where there are so many people in South Africa who don't have that. And it doesn't matter whether you're black or white or old or young or rich or poor. If you grew up in a household where, let's say, your parents were filthy rich, but they never gave you any love, and they were always fighting, and they didn't give you the support that you needed as a small child. You see a kid who's grown up with that support, and you compare them to a kid who might have had everything else but none of that. Massive difference, massive difference. Oh,
stable is king. Mm. But a friend of mine who belongs to the super good looking club, right? I've always said to her, and she always says,
Oh,
you're such a bigot, right? You're such a bigot. I'm like, the most powerful people in the world are good looking girls, and you can do too much. And she never listens to me. I say, don't do too much. You already look like this. Just let it happen to you. But she wants to get in the mix too much. I just said, look like you look and be alive. You've already won the Human Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
But some people don't know what they've got going. You know what I mean?
The lotto of
looks. She does way too much.
The lotto of looks. I'm telling you, those balls fall
out. What does that even mean? What do you mean?
What? You don't know what he's talking about? I know what he's talking about.
No.
It makes perfect sense to me. Oh,
I have no idea what Bolelo, doing just, too much when
all right, explain this to Pumi. I know what she means. I mean, I know what
so
he means.
So what good-looking girls don't realize is that the world is going to happen to you however you want to eventually, especially when there's guys around, is that don't press. Like, she goes into social situations and she thinks she needs to sort of initiate things and be the star of the show. You're already the star of the show. You look like this. And then now, because the problem that she doesn't realize is eventually we're all human. Don't talk too much. You're going to be boring, or you're not going to be smart. Just let the world happen to you, and you're already in the World Cup final. But some people don't know what they've got, you know? Sometimes I wish I could record her and let her see some social settings, and then she'd realize what I'm saying. But people don't listen. People don't listen. When you're good looking, you've already won.
Look,
don't do too much, and it's possible to do too much.
You can sometimes make up for the deficit in good looks, which is what I've spent almost
by being funny.
Yeah, I've spent my entire life trying to make up for that deficit by, you know, doing a job that gets me more attention, by making people laugh some of the time, by reading more, by making sure that I'm working on that other stuff all the time, so I can up the ante. Because, you know, some people walk into a room. I mean, I had this one girlfriend. I swear to you, she had no idea. She was completely, she was ignorant as F about when she walked into a room and everybody turned around and looked at her. She was, like, you know, in the movies or in those, especially those sort of American teen movies where you have the, you know, the high school.
Slow motion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And this one girl walks in, and then the wind machine starts blowing in her hair. And, like, she stands in, the lighting is perfect, and everybody stops what they're doing, and everyone in the frame goes as she walks in, and then there's this stop in the music, for example. And, like, it's dramatic. That's what happened to her. She wasn't aware of it. She's like, what are you talking about? Because she'd had that her whole life. Every time she walked into a room, it happened. So eventually she just took it for granted. She's like, okay. Didn't know her own power.
I mean,
some people have a different kind of animal magnetism, and you can see it with, certain politicians, people who just have that enormous drive, that real energy that just accompanies them into a room. They've got power. You know, they walk in and people stop, not because they're pretty in that case, but because they just have massive energy around them. And they
Francois Pinault.
They own the room. Yeah. Francois Pinault, you say.
Francois Pinault, it happened to me.
I've never met him. He's one of them.
Yeah. I remember. No, magic. He comes in, boom, handshake, eyes.
Really?
He looks like he looks, and he's
but
in
he's
it,
huge.
And
they're.
But he's also got that thing, you know, he carries himself in that way. Mm. It's like, oh, I see why they got Matt Damon to play you now. Well, so, when I met him, I was like, oh.
So do you think that
he's a jock. He's definitely a jock. He's like those exactly those teen American movies.
The high school, he's like the high school, sorority king. He's totally that guy.
And because he's bigger than everyone, you know, his body presence also does that.
Okay, but do you think that is something that people can learn? Because you might not have the look, you might not have it. Do you think it's something people can learn to do?
No.
Now, no?
I've told you this before. You know, organizations pick captains and CEOs and whatever. The people pick the leaders. So I know this from boarding school. I think I've told you this before. The coaches can pick whoever they want for the captain of the team.
Mm.
When we're on the try line and it's 5 meters out, it's raining and it's like we 1 point up. We used to tell the captain, get out the way. That's the guy we're listening to. Whatever you say, we're doing it. And there's nothing that you can do to that guy. That guy.
Mm.
You can't. There's no master's program. There's no leadership. Mm. When you're that guy, you're that guy. I don't know how it works for ladies, but certainly from a narrow boarding school perspective and through life,
maybe
you can't. You're born with it or you're not.
Yeah, maybe it's like
not that guy.
Maybe it's an instinct and an animal energy type thing, an animal magnetism thing, because you do see it with animals. You know, there's the one lion or buffalo or whatever it might be who just you could see they're in charge. As a human, we're not even in that herd or in that pride. We can look at it and go, that's the big Makulu boss. And all of them are looking at him and listening to him. He might not be the biggest one there, but there's something about the display of power. And you do see that with humans, particularly if you study history, you can see that this person just had like an outsized effect on the people around them. They would be able to get them to do whatever they wanted them to do. It's
like
unspoken.
Napoleon, he was so short.
He was
he
so short.
He shouldn't have been able to do what he could.
No, and Napoleon, I mean.
But he was still.
Right. And don't tell me that people like the bad guys, like Stalin and Hitler, don't tell me they were good looking. They were not. Don't tell me they were perfect specimens of humanity. I mean, they kept on talking about how they were superior and came from a superior race in Hitler's case, right? He didn't look like anything superior. If Hitler walked into a room, you wouldn't by looks think, oh, there's a real leader. You'd think, what a little runt. But it's like
cult of personality.
Yeah, it's a power thing. I mean, there are examples of that. Obviously, here in South Africa, you know, Nelson Mandela
which
had
is
this
what,
presence.
Yeah.
But even Thabo
Mbeki. Which
Mbeki,
is what Jay-Z.
Little Thabo
Mbeki.
But
it's also what Jacob had.
Yes.
That Cyril doesn't.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And maybe
like, it's unbelievable.
Like
that. Even at the height of his, everyone is clear that this guy is terrible for all of us. But he still had that thing that people
100% right. Pumi, every single time I met him, and I met Jacob Zuma, what, 6 or 7 times, right, in different scenarios. A few of them were when he wasn't president and when he was out of favor and he was in the political wilderness. And a lot of people thought, what a waste of time to sit and meet this guy. And I met the first time I met him actually was when he was out there and nobody really cared. My God, what a charming man. I've often said this, just the ability to make everyone, especially, and I know this is not a politically correct thing to say, but especially I saw his influence on women. And there were women literally swooning around this guy. And I've always wondered why it is that some men are able to get women to do that. He definitely had that power at that stage, certainly. Maybe not so much anymore.
And it's not even, and it's not good looks.
No, hell, it's, not in his know, case. No,
it's not like bodily whatever. He doesn't have the body for it. He doesn't have, but there's just.
All right. So if you can't learn it, then that's another privilege. Then we've got to call that like inherent power or innate power or something like that. That. You know, it just manifests itself and you can own a room without even trying.
Shadi Perelwood. Perelwood, is that how you say that?
Yeah.
Says Terre Blanche had a huge presence.
Oh my God. Terre Blanche. Yeah, well, I mean, listen, do you remember what that guy was? I mean, he was as right wing could be, right? Right. There's a lot of right in that sentence because he was
right
wing.
Right.
But he was, and I don't remember him very well because it was not, I was very young when he was, he was on the political scene, you know, it was around 1990 to 1994, and then he started to fade into obscurity. But you remember, the Avia beer was like a thing once. It's completely dissolved. There are I don't know that there's anyone who would call themselves Avia Beer now with a, you know, with their hand on their heart.
Yeah, well, now they're just Buramach, isn't it?
Yeah, but who are they without a guy like him? You know, he certainly, whether you like him or not, and that's what I'm saying, like, a lot of the bad guys in history are also these people. And you can either use that power that you have, that charisma, as Joe calls it, you can either use that for good or for bad. And the Mexicans call it machismo. Yes, but only when referring to men. The women can also have that power.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And in fact, it actually probably works when they've got it. Yeah. Oh, uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because with guys, it's almost, the problem is guys go too much into that ego way, from what I remember. And it's what separates that guy from a pseudo that guy, where they want to impose it physically. Like when a lady's got it, I'm doing it. I'll see you guys on the finish line. And you don't have to be on the train, by the way. Whoever's on, great. It was excellent.
Yeah.
And yeah, those who follow me win. It's a very interesting thing.
Well, Kim Jong-un says, and we always like to hear from him because, you know, he's busy in North Korea. And
he knows these things.
He
knows these things.
He says it's got a lot to do with perception. Perception is reality. Hence, the people we meet on social media are completely different in person most of the time. Uh-huh. Oh, I'm not going to go down that road because yesterday, Pumi, we started the show with Simpiwe and Bulelo and I. We started talking about the metaverse and buying NFTs and owning like places in the metaverse rather than the real world. And we went down a rabbit hole. My God. Unbelievable. Really, really unbelievable. We went to places. I actually had the weirdest dreams last night about like buying. No, it was so weird. I had this dream last night that I was buying a bunch of like bullshit, like memes and GIFs and things.
Purple rabbits.
Yeah, and I didn't know why I'd bought them. And then I sat with this bunch of stuff, and I was hoping in the dream. I was like sitting there in the dream going, please be worth something because I've spent money on you. And obviously,
your dreams are so practical.
So so practical.
I always find it because people's dreams, especially yours, sound quite lucid.
Yeah.
People's dreams are usually like, oh, there was a monster, it turned pink. But yours are always like a practical, well, I wonder if I can afford it in the end. It always ends up there. And I'm like, that's not a dream. You can do that in real life.
No, I know, but I do have these
vivid dreams. Financial problems in 3D.
Yes. No, they're very realistic. They're completely tied to the human experience on Earth, without a doubt. Mm. But I do have weird dreams as well, and those usually occur if I have the time to have an afternoon nap or whatever. Those daydreams, it's almost like I've taken drugs. Really, I have the most incredible, like hallucinogenic, vivid, insane, crazy, fantastical dreams when I have a daydream, a sleep during the day. As you're going into that sleep and as you're coming out of it and you can go back in and out, my God, it's like I feel like how I imagine someone who's constantly on mushrooms feels.
I read an article about the person who invented the sewing machine.
Oh, yeah?
That they dreamt about it.
Really?
They dreamt about it and then when they woke up, they were like, oh,
that's what I need to do.
Sewing machine.
Yeah, well, musicians, a lot of the great musicians who've written those unbelievable melodies that you can just, you know, anyone in the world can hum with just three bars, or not even like three or four notes, they can pick up the rest of the song. A lot of those guys say that those things, those melodies come to them in a dream, and they'll wake up and they'll have to have a notepad next to them or a voice recorder or whatever. And thank God these days we've got these, right? Because you can just hit record on there and they can go da, 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 or whatever and record it. Because you remember in the old days, like you would have had to get a tape recorder and would have been connected to this and had, you know, it was this big machine. But now you can just record it on your phone. But the thing came to them in a dream.
Awesome. Imagine.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Kim Jong-un says, we have everything we need over here in North Korea. Great food, great government, and most importantly, a great leader. Yes, and North Korea is best Korea. Never forget. That's important. That's
only it. Korea, true Korea.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know that thing about dreaming stuff up and kind of, Elizabeth Gilbert. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Gilbert, Eat, Pray, Love?
Yes.
She has a book called Big Magic. And it's about the life of ideas. And her hypothesis is that all ideas are everywhere all the time, looking for a way to actualize. And if you get an idea and you don't bring it to life, the idea just moves on to somebody who does. And so one of the reasons some people will say, I had a dream and it just came to me, or it's a, when I wrote this thing, it was a, you know, stream of consciousness, is because the idea has a life of its own.
Big magic.
And it's just looking for, it's looking for a way to self-actualize.
That's an interesting idea, that ideas are bouncing around all around. No, no, it's an amazing thing to think about. Like, you could access any of the great ideas and the ones that we haven't even discovered yet, right? You could find any of those things. It's because it could just pass you by.
You just have to be a conduit.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. And yeah. you have to be attuned to it. So people who are creators of any kind, whether it's writers or musicians or dancers, are more in tune into the world of ideas. And so they are able to kind of be the conduit for it.
I love that.
Hell of a thing. Hell of a thing. I think there's also a, it's a book, Big Love, Big Magic. Sorry. It's called Big Magic.
Yeah.
And I think she has a TED talk about it.
Okay.
As well.
I'll look it up. That sounds amazing. All right. So that's Elizabeth Gilbert, right?
Mm, yeah.
Okay. Hang on. I've got a picture of the book here. Take a look. This is the book that Pumi's talking about. And, that sounds like a good one to add to the reading list. Elizabeth Gilbert. She's the author of Eat, Pray, Love.
That's the one.
Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear. Well, it's interesting that she even brings fear into it, because you can't have good ideas if you're fearful. Because fearful means you're in survival mode. If you're in survival mode, all you're thinking about is, when is my next meal coming? How do I keep myself safe? How do I not lose my house or my money or my children or whatever it might be, right?
But it's also the fear of ridicule is what she talks about. So some of the things that stops the ideas, that stops you from kind of living through the idea, is you're kind of like, yeah, what if people think it's stupid? And that thing, that thing is fear. What if people don't like it? That thing is fear. You know, what if they don't like me for saying this?
Well,
fear.
Listen, I'm going to read this book. You've given me something to think about now. Damn it, Pumi, more homework. I've got so much homework. I've got three books sitting on my bedside table that I've got to make a way through in the next two
weeks. Yeah, that's why you shouldn't
weeks.
Be sleeping past 6 a.m.
Oh, my God, yeah.
There it is. Come full circle.
No, that's true. All right, so a couple of headlines for this morning. This is so disturbing. And there's so much of this going on because China really owns Hollywood at the moment. And, you know, if you want to make a movie or a TV series or if you're in sport, for example, and you want to sell to the biggest market of potential viewers in the world, you have to be friends with China. But they control how things go. So they actually took the movie Fight Club. You remember with Brad Pitt, right? The original ending of Fight Club is where Edward Norton's character, or the narrator, kills his imaginary alter ego, Tyler Durden, before bombs destroy buildings in the climax to a subversive plot to reorder society, right? It's called Project Mayhem. So in the movie, that's what happens. But in China, a message now says that the police foiled the plot, arrested the criminals, and sent Tyler Durden to a lunatic asylum. So China has,
lunatic asylum, yeah, of course.
So China has actually forced everybody to a different ending to the movie so that the authorities win. This is sick. This is George Orwell, 1984, totalitarianism writ large. And now it's happening in Hollywood. And you know what? I have no respect for Hollywood if they allow this to happen. The new finale tells viewers, through the clue provided by Tyler, the police rapidly figured out the whole plan and arrested all the criminals, successfully preventing the bomb from exploding. So, nice one, China. That's great. Apparently, the director has recently been added to the streaming platform Tencent Video, and Human Rights Watch described the changes as dystopian. Tell me about it. Chuck Palahniuk, who wrote the 1996 novel that it was adapted from, wrote sarcastically on Twitter, "This is super wonderful. everyone gets a happy ending in China. So, there we go.
Is that a happy ending, though?
Yeah.
Is that a happy ending?
Yeah, well.
Although it's quite
satisfying to see the bombs go off.
Correct.
It is quite, yeah, it is quite. Super overrated film, but okay, conversation for another time. What's it? The other idea of that Hollywood has ever been free is crazy. So I interviewed somebody whose mom's super royalty there. And I don't know if people know this, but the American military has to clear every single film that comes out of Hollywood.
Mm.
So this idea, and I mean, listen, we are more free. I think the West is still the best place to, but the idea that it's ever been like, you know, we're free and we're watching a liberal Hollywood is not true anyway. You know, the American military is in control of whatever we're seeing.
Listen, there are some things China is doing that you might not think are so bad, and you might think some of them are more than okay. They should be mandatory. For example, there's a tightening of rules over what China has described as unhealthy content in programs. I mean, the Western world, everybody's going crazy on TikTok. Guess what? You can't access from China if you're under the age of 25. TikTok. There are no Chinese users. They don't allow it. They don't even allow their kids on social media.
And they've got a time period.
Absolutely.
Their kids can be on,
on the internet.
On devices.
Correct. So part of the tightening of rules is the National Radio and Television Administration in China said political and moral conduct should be seen as criteria that need to be prioritized in the selection of actors. So certain talent show formats have been stopped. The television regulator also ordered broadcasters to rein in high salaries paid to stars and to clamp down on tax evaders. They also promoted what they defined as more masculine images of men, and they criticized male celebrities who use makeup or look effeminate. So you might think that's good. You might think it's bad. They want to foster a patriotic atmosphere, and they're going to encourage that kind of stuff. They've reinstated the commitment to common prosperity, and in this pledge, to redistribute wealth, high-earning tech tycoons and entertainment stars should be singled out. Last week, Chinese actress Zheng Shuang was fined $46 million for tax evasion. $46 million.
Huh? Jeez.
Yeah. So there we go. And they do not like...
And they've been on a string of those, hey? They've been on a string of those. She's not the first.
They've cleansing video games. They are taking effeminate men and women off of there. They don't mind if women are pretty and stupid, but they don't want men to be pretty. So there's pretty privilege is gone for them, just in case you were worrying and wondering about that, Bulelo. Yeah. That's over.
Tate Diggs wouldn't last. He wouldn't last.
All right. Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi has been hospitalized. I saw this in the news yesterday. Don't know a whole lot about it, but I can give you some background. Of course, he's a very old man now, so, you know, let's not all pretend that he was going to last forever, but that's a whole generation that's just on their way out now. And we're the poorer for it. We had Desmond Tutu in, you know, that week of Christmas. But he has been hospitalized, and they say it's nothing to be alarmed about. I mean, he's in incredible condition. The family confirmed that he was hospitalized on Tuesday, but says that he's undergoing a routine medical examination, and he reported feeling slightly ill on Monday. There were concerns about his blood pressure. And they said they will probably discharge him later this week from hospital. 93
because over
years
the weekend,
mm-hmm.
I think over the weekend he was at San Juan. There was a commemoration.
Yes, that's right.
He was there. He had a little speech, and then so yesterday when I saw him trending, does this happen to anyone else? Like when you see somebody's name trending and they're a certain age, that you kind of feel like
you immediately think, okay, it's bad news.
Like this morning when I woke up and Barry Manilow, somebody else was trading, and I was like,
uh-oh, end of them. it was, you know how I knew it was the commemoration of the Battle of San Juan. I follow Prince, well, no, he's our King, Misuzulu, on Instagram. And then I don't know if it's him or if it's office, you know.
I think it's a fake account.
Really?
Because there's also one on Twitter.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're posting stuff where he is all the time. So it's interesting because you get like an insight into what the king is up to. And I saw all the people in their traditional garb at the copy at San Juan, which I recognized immediately. It was really cool. So I see that going on. But
that's very cool.
Mangosuthu in hospital, but they say don't panic. He will be probably released in the next few days.
Hey, I actually have somebody to introduce to you. I didn't think about this
Who?
Until. right this minute. Her name is Shalom Bata, and she wrote the book, like the definitive history of, and in Sizulu, and it's got an English, it's called Umlando Nobuqhawe bukaZulu. So it's about the kind of the dynasty of how it's all come down.
Oh, wow.
So,
oh, that's right up my street. You know that. Get her. Let's talk to her.
The forehead and the foreword in her book was actually written by the late king.
King Gudul.
Mm.
Oh, wow. Oof, I'd like to hear that. That sounds good. You know, that's I just love that stuff. Apparently, cabinets are to announce an end to rotational classes at schools. So that's coming up in the news. Very good news for parents.
Thank goodness.
Right. You were complaining. You were saying that there's still schools that have this bizarre system and you couldn't believe it the other day. Remember?
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Save your 20,000 Rand. Drake is not performing at Gonka, despite what anyone tells you. That's an important headline for this. Tickets would have cost you, tickets would have cost you 20 Rand. Yeah, yeah. So, despite the excitement on social media, Gonka and Soweto have dismissed rumors that Drake will be performing live at their venue in March. Comes after an initial post on a fake Facebook page, which posted that they were hosting the event of the year, bringing Drake to perform in Mzansi on March 10th. And the fees were going to be 20,000 Rand a person and 30,000
Rand. They would never be 20,000. They would never be 20,000 at Gonka. They'd at least 50.
Also, why would Drake be going to Gonka? I mean, what if...
Well, stranger things have happened.
Come on, guys. Come on.
Anyway, so don't waste your money. It's not going to happen. Right? It's a scam.
Oh, okay.
What presumably his friend Black Coffee would get him to... Anyway.
So the actual Gonka in Soweto said, a scam alert, fake news, Mara one day is one day.
Oh, okay. One day is one day.
Mm.
Okay.
That's what they said.
Incredible.
So that's what's going on. All right. That's all we've got time for in the headlines this morning. We've got lots of other good stuff, though, heading your way in the next while. We've got an email or two that we want to get to. This one's from Tessa. I've also got the Burning Platform with Sitlen Gobese. And we've got JJ Cornish on this morning. So lots to talk about. I also interviewed a professor at WITS just yesterday, Professor Gilbert Khadigala, who is he's the head of an organization at WITS that looks into the relationship between America and Africa, and in particular America and South Africa. And I had a nice conversation with him for about 45 minutes yesterday, and we'll be putting that out later this week as well. So stick around for that and a whole lot more. Does anybody know, Boza wants to know, what's the latest on Jub Jub and Amanda? Anything? Or has that just died out?
The new cycle.
Jub.
Has happened to them. That's the thing about these things. It's just like outrage for all of 8 hours. And then...
It makes me wonder how much of it is real. Because... If it is as serious as it was on the day that it broke as a news story, how can it just go away like that? No, really. It's unbelievable.
Because it takes a lot to follow through on things like that, right? Mm-hmm. It takes a lot to follow through with a court case. It takes a lot to follow through with suing a person. It takes a lot of time and energy and money.
Money. That's also it. What I love about TikTok, says Robin, TikTok is it's the only platform where you're required to be creative to make videos and receive the good content. Well, I must be honest with you, I'm not on TikTok. I've never even, when people send me TikTok links, it takes me to like a registration or a login page, so I just give up there and then I don't go in. So unless someone sends me the file, then if you send me the file on WhatsApp, for example, then I get it. But otherwise, I'm so old school. I don't even know how to access this stuff.
Listen, the level of some of the stuff that I've seen from TikTok, and I've deliberately stayed away from having my own account on TikTok.
Yeah.
Because I can see the rabbit hole, you know, like your metaverse situation. Mm-hmm. I can see it. Mm-hmm. The stuff that I see of South African content creators, whether it's singing and dancing, whether it's a kind of imitating people.
Yeah.
But my God, the original content in the vernaculars that is just incisive and funny and incredible performances, incredible little skits, little acting. It's unbelievable. South Africans are amazing. South Africans have an amazing sense of humor. South Africans are incredibly, incredibly, like, and the kind of humor that they have as well.
Well,
it's just out of this world.
I'm thrilled.
I wish we could bottle it and sell it to the rest of the world.
Well, the Chinese are bottling and selling it back to us. That's the irony. I mean, that's why they're clever, right? But I think it's great. Let people find a way to tell their stories, to do their thing, to show their talent off. I think it's terrific. And
I hope they can monetize it.
Apparently, TikTok is now bigger than Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and even Google. So there's an interesting thing. And obviously, it's young people too. So we're not talking about like 60, 70, and 80-year-olds who are busy making this content. It's coming from, you know, 14, 15, 16-year-olds.
Yeah. So that's but interestingly, so in South Africa, the numbers are the biggest consumers are between 25 and 40, by the way, that age demographic on TikTok.
Really?
Which is quite interesting. So, yeah, creators between 15 and 21, and then consumers are between 25 and 40 is the largest consumer base in South Africa. I haven't seen any other numbers.
Hmm. Well, Robin says she's deleted Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and WhatsApp. But how can you delete?
Wow.
How can you delete WhatsApp? I need to know how you've done that, because if I don't have WhatsApp, I, first of all, this morning on the show, I had to send Simpiwe and Bolelo a WhatsApp before we started the show. I wouldn't be able to do that on any other app, could I? I don't want to send them individual like SMSs, and I don't want to be on Signal or Telegram or any of those. That's a pain in the ass. So WhatsApp's just where people are. Why would you not have that? How do you manage without that, Robin? That's ridiculous. So, I don't know.
But yeah, maybe Robin is the princess, you know, like Philip's cousin or something, and she can just live that life. You know what I'm saying?
It's someone
because when you're that rich,
people who need her just send her a text.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, they bring a scroll. They light the beacons as they're on their way.
They bring her a letter with a wax seal on it on a silver tray, and they walk in, they knock at the door, walk into the room, "Madam, there is a message for you." And then she picks it up and opens it up with a letter opener. Do you remember when we used to have those?
Yes.
I still have a magnificent letter opener.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. I have a beautiful one.
Yeah, my
one
father had one as well. Wow. Do you have one of those proper ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a nice thing to use. Yeah. You don't tear the envelope up.
Yeah.
Listen.
That's what I imagine now.
You talk about letters and things. So I share a post box with the rest of the family and my dad's business, and it all goes to the same post box, but he never collects the mail. So like he went the other day, and on Monday, I popped in at their house, and there's this pile of like letters for me. Obviously, most of them are bills, you know, from the municipality and that kind of thing. I was in big trouble because the last time I think I got mail from them was probably June last year. So I had to very quickly pay up, and it wasn't a small amount of money. But mail, like having a post box, it feels so antiquated, doesn't it?
Do you still have a post? Wait, I thought you were telling a story from a while ago. Like, do you have a post box now?
Yeah. I still send
so
people.
So you go with the little gray key and you open?
Yes.
But do you know mail can be delivered to your house? Did you know that?
What, by the post
you
office?
They just drop it into your gate.
Really?
No.
When was the last time you saw a postman?
In the 90s.
When was the last time you saw it? And that mail and coming to your house. When was the last time you saw a postman like with his little satchel and his black and white cat?
and two people so sophisticated like you
postman,
two are
postman Pat.
Next thing you're gonna tell me, postman Pat. Next thing you're gonna tell me, you're still listening to CDs or what? I mean, come on.
Hey. Listen, if you have a serious people. With businesses and real bills that you actually need to get to.
Thank you.
have to ensure that their mail actually arrives and actually arrives on time. Because believe it or not, there are so many other people who are still sending mail like that.
Yes.
As in a real actual paper printed in an envelope. And
listen,
somebody closed
if I
it.
Hadn't got, like, if I hadn't got those letters that I got
get a post box.
On Monday,
you'll never get it.
There would be real world consequences for me. I would have been cut off by the municipality if I hadn't got those bills in the mail. They don't send them to me on email. Sorry.
I'm not joking. I am stunned that you just said a post box. Like, totally stunned. Like, I don't even know the last time I saw a post box. And I'm not being funny. I don't know the last time I saw one.
This is funny.
So Freedom Fighter here actually has a postman in his...
In Blegari, we have postman Patlala on his bicycle still. Listen... That's I
which
like
can
that.
Also be which can also be shortened to Postman Pat.
Postman Pat and his black and white cat. Do you remember that? I remember the song that you Postman Pat and his black and white cat. But I we had a different version. It was Postman Pat.
Oh dear.
Postman Pat drove over his cat. All the guts went flying. Postman Pat was crying. He'll just have to buy another cat.
You awful, awful people. Awful, awful children.
Yeah. All right. That's enough about that's awesome. These antiquated ways that Pumi and I communicate. And Bolelo is horrified.
Listen.
He's horrified. Look at him. He's shaking his head at us. It's ridiculous. Sharon says, we have a postman in Melkbosstrand. Yeah, I'm telling you, there's still places.
CJ. Yeah.
Sean says, post boxes are everywhere.
Where's everywhere? I also live here.
Nah, please. I don't know what fancy place you're in the year 2048, but we're still stuck with like postmen on bicycles. Sorry.
Yes, in your fancy little like apartment block that doesn't allow kids and pets.
Yeah,
it is a pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
It is a pleasure. Two more months and the guy's going back to India.
Oh, your neighbor who was irritating you. Good. Yeah, I'm holding thumbs for you.
Two more months. He's leaving in May. It's just outstanding.
Tiger DC says, you can get your municipal bill by email or online. I haven't had a postbox in 10 years. All right, stop making us feel bad. Stop it. Cassandra says, a friend sent me a Christmas card from the UK for Christmas 2020. She received it back in the UK a week before Christmas 2021.
Oh, wow.
It took a year for it to get here and then be sent back. Ay, 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 ay. Can you believe it? All right, well, I still have a postbox. I'm not embarrassed about it. Sorry.
Yeah. Wow.
The post office, listen to this, Chris says, post office in Pinelands couldn't afford a bicycle for the postman, so we all got together and bought him a bike collectively. How's that?
Incredible.
That's nice.
Amazing.
Postman Pat was lit. London is exactly like that. The postman actually arrives and says, hello, darling. The Royal Mail, huh?
Yo. Weirdly, it's still quite big in the UK and America. Still, like, the postal service is a massive part of the society.
Yeah, and they get their newspapers delivered every morning.
Yeah.
Usually by the same guy. All right, well, that's all we got time for in this hour, but coming up, The Burning Platform. I'm very excited for a new edition of The Burning Platform. I've still got Tess's email, but we may get to that tomorrow. We'll have to see. This morning on The Burning Platform, we'll be joined by JJ Cornish, who is our expert on all things African, and we haven't spoken to him yet in 2022. So we'll find out what he has on the agenda for the next couple of weeks, and also get his take on some of the hot stories in current affairs at the moment. Also, Big Daddy Sihle Ngobese, who is the host of the Big Daddy Liberty Show, which you can get on podcast or watch on YouTube. But this morning, he's here with us. So make sure you don't miss that. That's coming up next. Between 7 and 8 on CliffCentral.com. Stick around for that and a whole lot more. And welcome to Thursday. CliffCentral.com.